to Nerd Nerd Nerdy, where we explore your nerd side for the next hour every Monday at 9. This is DJ Titania, and you're listening in Penguin Radio, nerdy.dominican.edu. Okay, I have a very good show for you planned today. We have three segments, as always. The first one, The Quibbler, we're going to talk about news in the nerd world. Then we have our segment, The New, The Old, and The Ugly of Open World Games. And then we have The Hitchhiker's Guide to Belagarth with a very special guest. If you are from Dominican University, maybe you know who I'm talking about. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. The guest will be here shortly. Okay. We're moving on to our first section, The Quibbler, our section in news. And we're going to talk about first about a little bit about Harry Potter. And this is a little bit funny for me because the section is named after Harry Potter. For those of you who didn't know, The Quibbler is a sensationalistic, let's say, magazine that appears in Harry Potter. So, well, the first piece of news that I have for you is that pigeons in a Harry Potter exhibit were mistreated, according to PETA. It happens that Warner Bros. Has a studio tour in London and it supposedly mistreats its animals, its pigeons. They have some owls that were, according to PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, they were supposedly mistreated. They were clearly distressed and they were suspended in tiny cages and repeatedly forced to perform demeaning tricks. Additionally, the trainers showed gross negligence while holding the birds and encouraged flash photography despite the fact that owls have especially acute vision and find blinding camera flashes extremely distressing. PETA director Mimi Beckenchi, also released a statement saying that PETA are calling on Warner Bros. Studio Tour London to make sure that the Harry Potter tour stays magical and not cruel by keeping live animals out of it. But Warner Bros. Studio Tour London spokesperson said that in their defense that the owls' treatment was responsible by the birds and animals, that it's an independent organization, and supposedly they hire experts to deal with the animals. They said that they will take appropriate action to ensure that the birds and animals always receive the very best care. I don't know about you guys, but if I was in a tour in London and I saw that the owls were mistreated, I would get very, very upset. But anyways, in the books, if they are put in those tiny cages, they are being, in a way, mistreated. So I'm kind of conflicted about it. I guess that you could, like, do without the owls altogether. There are other types of pets that are portrayed in the magical world of Harry Potter that I guess that you could have in the tour. Moving right along, Twitch advises users to change account passwords after a security breach. The streaming service Twitch issued a statement to all users confirming some confidential information may have been compromised. They let us know, all of its users, because I'm a user too, guys, that there have been an unauthorized access to some Twitch user account information. And they expired all passwords and in-stream keys, and they disconnected accounts from Twitter and YouTube. As a result, you will be prompted to create a new password the next time you attempt to log into your Twitch account. In addition to resetting passwords on the service, on their service, Twitch advises users to change similarly formatted passwords on their other websites to ensure their information is secure. They also confirm they will contact affected users directly. So that's a relief that they are taking a little bit of action in regards of this mishap, let's say. Moving along, Jennifer Lawrence confirms that Apocalypse is her final X-Men movie. Well, after the Beast signing off after the Apocalypse movie, it's no surprise that superstar Jennifer Lawrence will also be done with blue body makeup, yellow contact lenses, and all the mutant thing altogether. So she said this in chat with MTV while promoting her new film Serena, and she said that she said like quite casually, she said, "Yes, it is my last one actually." Well, I guess she can take it very casually because she is now a superstar. And when she played Mystique, when she was signed for Mystique, she was a no one. So, well, I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted about this too, guys. I guess that you as an actor must take a little bit of, you must be a little bit forwarding and just a little bit grateful for the roles that were given to you when you were no one. And now that she's a superstar, she's won an Oscar, she's been in the Hunger Games, and she's all over, she's a little bit over the character. She was pretty good in it. I won't say that she wasn't, but she wasn't the perfect Mystique either. So, I won't say good riddance, but nah. So, moving along, why Smash Bros. Fighters are toys and not actual characters? This is a question that you may ask yourselves. And actually, the answer to this is that there was an actual chat in Nintendo when the first Smash Bros. Came out and in 1999 for the Nintendo 64. And Iwata said that this very serious debate led to the resolution that they were actually toys because they couldn't, like, different characters in the Nintendo world couldn't be hitting each other because of no reason. If you remember, if you had a Nintendo 64 back in the day, you may remember the opening cinematic for the game that shows the Master Hand plucking the characters from the toy box and plopping them down. So now we have the amiibos that are actually a meta kind of thing for the Super Smash Bros. Franchise. And I think that this is actually a smart move from Nintendo because I couldn't imagine Nintendo with all its family-friendly stuff going forward with violence. So Super Smash Bros. Was their most, let's say, violent between inverted commas game. And this, for me, kind of sells the deal, let's say. So, sad news now. Batman Arkham Knight release date has been delayed again. But now it's not such a long delay as it was the last time from October to June. Now it's from June the 2nd to June the 23rd. Only 3 weeks, guys. It's not that long. And it's not the first time that Rocksteady and Warner Bros. Have pushed this date. So let's not be like overly sensitive about this, okay? It's not such big a deal. It is a very high profile game and it is to be expected. So what they actually said was that we are a developer that hates to make any compromises. So we're sorry to say this means it's going to be just a little bit longer until you can play the epic conclusion to the Arkham trilogy. They did release today a new cinematic for the game where they showed Batman chasing after a car that was suspiciously linked to... now I can't find the name for the villain. But yeah, Scarecrow. And, well, it seemed like pretty interesting. I mean, it's a game that I am waiting for, but at the same time, I'm not so excited and so hyped about it. Because, you know, it is another game from the same developers that brought us two brilliant games and a game that was okay. And let's face it, Arkham City, with all its good things, it wasn't innovative. It wasn't a breakthrough game, okay? The next piece of news that I have for you is that Jim Parsons has actually said that he wanted to play the Riddler. In an interview with MTV UK, he said that they asked him if he would like to play a superhero, and he said, "I would like to be a villain. I would really like to play the Riddler, and I don't think they're using the Riddler very much, are they?" He said, "You hear that? I would be dope as the Riddler, wouldn't I? Girls, tell your friends." I think this was too much. I don't know. As the look goes, Jim Parsons is perfect. He's kind of good, like Jim Carrey was for the Riddler. But as acting goes, I don't know how that would turn out. It could be so bad as Jim Carrey was. So we have like this figure that's a really good actor like Jim Carrey is, and that has this really good look as Jim Carrey did in the day, and it could go really bad from there. So I'm really scared about it. But I guess he could do. We have had really bad interpreters of villains, and we have really bad interpreters of villains. So, yeah, DC could do worse than Jim Parsons. Moving right along, Mini-Me was hospitalized after a Comic-Con in the heart of Texas in Waco. Vern Troyer, that's also known as Mini-Me, actually had a seizure, and he was taken to hospital. But then he tweeted that he was okay, so there's no need to worry. But guys, if you go to a con, just stay hydrated. I mean, let's these things not to happen. Let's make these things not happen, please. Okay. For those of you guys who recognize the song at the beginning of the show, I have for you the X-Files revival that is actually being talked about in Fox. The truth is out there, guys. There has been much of a discussion about the return of the hit show, and it aired from 1993 to 2002. And actually, the talk is that there will be from 6 to 10 episodes, and it will be shot this summer. All your major actors and actresses that you love will be back for the show, and it will take on some previous storylines that weren't addressed by either the original series of the two feature films that were The X-Files and The X-Files, I Want to Believe. So that's kind of exciting. Next on, also some kind of feature film, The Fantastic Four. I'm not excited about this. I have said so before. And they are talking about actually making a sequel. They are already talking about a sequel. Guys, this is not the Guardians of the Galaxy. Please stop. Please stop. And this guy that's going to play Reed Richard, that he's too young to play Reed Richard, please stop talking. Please shut up. I don't know what they're doing with this. I mean, I will go to see it, to see the movie. You should go to see the movie and judge it with your own eyes, but let's just not get excited. The Fantastic Four is such a good comic, and it has been thrown everywhere. The past movie was horrifying. It was horrible. Okay. I have very good news for you who are gamers. Out this week we have tomorrow Bloodborne, for those of you who have a PS4 and are gamers, actually. This is a PS4 exclusive, of course, by Hidetaka Miyazaki that was involved in Dark Souls 2. And Bloodborne, of course, is the spiritual follower of Dark Souls 1 and 2 and Demon Souls. And if you like those sorts of games, open world, very difficult, kind of annoying, if you ask me, I really can't deal with that kind of you lose your souls, you are kind of husk. I don't like that. But anyway, it is available tomorrow. It will be $60 in the PS4 or if you would like the collector's edition, it would be $80. So, also tomorrow you will be able to grab the Blu-ray or the DVD for Into the Woods. It's already available. That's kind of exciting, because also tomorrow you will be able to buy The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies in Blu-ray or DVD. So that took too long, and Into the Woods took like no time at all. So yay for Disney, not so much for The Hobbit. I don't know what I think about Into the Woods because I haven't seen it. I'm a big musical fan, but they told me like the first 20 minutes is actually just a very awful song, and then it gets like really good. I don't know. I need to judge it for myself. But if you liked it, you can buy it now. And The Hobbit, The Battle of Five Armies is really good. Let's just forget about the book. Let's just forget about it. And just focus on how beautiful the movie is, please. Please. And yeah, it is a beautiful movie. If you forget that, it's not The Hobbit. And yeah. And spoiler alert, Thorin dies. Why? 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 Yeah, I needed to vent. Sorry. You also, tomorrow, everything else tomorrow, guys. I don't know, tomorrow, Tuesday. Everyone decided to go throw things to buy at your face. So if you don't have money, I'm sorry. You can buy for PS4 and Xbox One the handsome collection of Borderlands. That is Borderlands 1 and 2 with all their DLCs. And it's $60. They don't know how else to make these games sell and make money. They don't know how. Because they have already given them so much money. And if you haven't played them, I don't know. Where do you live? Why? I will go into your house and make you play the game. Because it's so gorgeous. It's so funny. It's so everything. But yeah, I don't know where you're living the past 5 years that you haven't played Borderlands 1 and 2. But if you haven't, here's your chance. And yeah, Steam has given you several chances along it's several sales along the years and the days and the seasons, because Gavin is like that. He's really generous with, I don't know, stuff. Okay. Borderlands pre-sequel, the DLC, Kleptastic Voyage, is also available tomorrow. And I don't know how much it is in regards of money, but you can get it. And I'm sure it will be Kleptastic, because it's Claptrap, let's face it, and he's awesome. And you can also get, not tomorrow, but on Thursday, because you cannot spend all your money tomorrow, you can get Infinite Crisis on Steam. And this is a MOBA for the DC Multiverse. Stop making MOBAs. Stop. Please stop. It makes me angry. It makes many people angry. Many people happy because they can play free-to-play games. But it makes me angry because, I don't know, it's not fun. They're not fun, guys. I don't know why you play them. And on Thursday, yes, yes, Pillars of Eternity. Yes. $45 on Steam. If you do not want to play it, I don't know where you're living. Yes, it raised so much money, so many millions on Kickstarter, and it's the spiritual. Yes, I'm not making sense because I'm so excited. It's the spiritual follower for Baldur's Gate. Though it's not based on Dungeons and Dragons. But yes, you will be able to get 6 total companions. It's so amazing. It's so beautiful. You must check it out because it's so beautiful. Yes. So yeah, go and check that out. Buy it. Play it. It will be awesome. So now I'm going to leave you with a song, and then we will come back to talk about the new, the old, and the ugly of open world video games. This is DJ Titania, Nerd Nerd Nerdy, and this is radio.dominican.edu. See you after the song.
Oh.
guys, and welcome back to Nerd Nerd Nerdy. This is DJ Titania, and I have a guest with us today. His name is Mateo, and he's going to present himself right now.
Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Mateo Crafso. What do you want, my like major and stuff?
Yeah, sure.
I'm a junior business major, marketing concentration here at Dominican University. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, that's pretty cool major. And okay, now we're going to talk about the new, the old, and the ugly of open world video games. Because you're going to explain about us all about Villagarth, but later, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, the new. Actually, this was pretty hard for me to do because open world video games in general, are such an open category, such a wide category for people to choose from in general. So the new of open world video games for me is GTA 5, Grand Theft Auto 5. But I mean, I don't really like GTA. Do you like GTA?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played much. I have a lot of friends who play a lot of it. It's not my game particularly. I prefer slashers.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Skyrim, World of Warcraft style games rather than shooters like Destiny, GTA, Call of Duty.
Yeah. I wouldn't consider Destiny an open world game because it has its sections are so constrained that I don't like it like that. So for me, an open world game is Fallout, blah blah. We're going to continue talking about that. Okay, GTA 5, and also some that have not been released yet, actually. The Witcher 3, No Man's Sky, and Arkham Knight. Have you played the Batman games?
I've played Arkham Asylum a little bit. I like it. I hate the controls. They drive me insane.
Yeah.
I'm a very, I have a small range of video games. I enjoy playing their controls. So League of Legends, World of Warcraft style, WASD style movement games. Simpler games. That's kind of more my expertise.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's simpler in a way, in another way. I mean, because the controls, if you get like an Xbox controller, it's so much more easy to play. I mean, if you play it with a keyboard and a mouse, that gets like pretty complicated.
I wouldn't say it gets that complicated. It just takes practice. It's all muscle memory.
Yeah, of course. But it's so much more intuitive if you get an Xbox controller. I play it on PC, though. I mean, it's just that I get a controller.
I know a lot of people who do the controller route. It's something I've never done. I guess I've never had the opportunity to.
Yeah.
So I like the keyboard feel. I played
I play like first person shooters. I play them with a keyboard because I cannot aim with
exactly.
A controller.
Exactly. The controller is harder to aim with. I remember when I first played Halo. Well, it's like when I first played Halo, it was like I'm looking down, I'm looking up, I'm looking to the side, and I just want to look straight at, you know,
exactly.
A grunt. But no, I'm spinning and you get dizzy and it's just controllers suck. Okay. It's all about the PC life.
Exactly. Well, but GTA 5, for those of you who don't know, it is an open-world game, and it's an action-adventure video game. It's actually the fifth in the series, of course. And it's developed by Rockstar North and published by Rockstar Games. It was released in the 17th of September of 2014 for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, and an enhanced version of the game was released the 18th of November of 2014 for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And it is scheduled to be released the 14th of April of 2015 for PC. That has been a long wait. And The Witcher 3 is scheduled to be released May 19th. We have talked in this show previously about Arkham Knight. It's scheduled to be released in June 23rd. And No Man's Sky is actually the one that's the prettiest and the most expected for me, at least. That is a NASA-inspired indie game. And it's rumored to be released this summer, but it will arrive for PS4 and PC. It has not been said if it will be arriving for Xbox One or not. So that's a sad news for Xbox One, but many sad news in general for Xbox One. Okay, the old of open world video games, we have The Elder Scrolls, obviously, Morrowind and Oblivion for me, Red Dead Redemption, Far Cry in general, Fallout in general too, Saints Row I like too, but it's just too funny sometimes that I cannot take it seriously. Arkham City, Batman, of course, Borderlands 2, GTA 4, GTA in general as well, Dead Island, and The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, Legend of Zelda is still to this day, in my opinion, one of the best video game franchises there's ever been. Like,
yeah.
It's like, I mean, I started late. The Wind Waker was one of my first Zelda games, but it is to this day one of the best games I've ever played.
Yes, of course. Well, but it is the game that started open world games. And actually, The Legend of Zelda, the first one was for NES. I don't know how you guys pronounce it. We say NES. You say NES?
Pretty much NES from what I remember.
NES, okay. So it's like if you've never seen a screenshot, I find it that hard to believe, but if you have never seen a screenshot of what The Legend of Zelda looks like for NES, it's like pretty old school. If you have ever had a Game Boy in your hands, it looks like that. And it was like exploring the map without a map.
It was so, I've seen the pictures, and I mean, I played a lot of Pokemon, so I get the Game Boy feel. I've been playing since the Game Boy Color. I had a yellow Game Boy Color.
Oh, my God.
It was fantastic.
I had Aquamarine Game Boy Color. Oh, my God. It was Aquamarine. It was.
Are you sure about that? I mean, they had blue, which I kind of had Aquamarine. I had two. My dad had one, and I had one, and then my dad lost his, so he just took mine. It was great because I like to watch him play more than playing because I sucked at the time.
Oh my God.
I'm still kind of bad
at
Pokemon.
But you cannot. You cannot, not be good at Pokemon ever. It's a game it's designed not to let children play. You always win.
Well,
even when you fight, like, 1 against 100, you win.
I mean, yeah, but then you get trapped in a mountain. And you don't know where to go.
That's
and
true.
Every three steps you get attacked by another Pokemon.
That's
and
bullying.
Eventually you just get so frustrated that you stop.
Well, that's true. That's true. I'll give you a point for that. okay. Next up we have The Ugly. And you will hate me for this.
Probably.
But it's, of course, Skyrim.
Why don't you like Skyrim? It's
actually
such a fun game.
It's a fun game, but that's all it is. And people just hype it up as it was the perfect game of history. And it's not.
So you're just mad about the hype. You're not about the game.
About the game.
Okay, so what are you mad about?
And the hype.
So what are you mad about with the game?
Well, it has gorgeous graphics for the time.
Some of the best graphics I've seen, like, at considering when it came out.
Yeah, 2011. The music is good, just good. It's not like the best music ever.
Borderlands is still the best music ever.
Yeah. And it was, Cage the Elephant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There
was an improvement from Oblivion in voice acting and sounds in general. But the plot is loose. There are things that are utterly ridiculous for me. I mean, most NPCs are not interesting, they're paper thin, they don't have a soul, even the ones that are in the main quest. And of course there are exceptions, but there are not many. I can remember three NPCs from Skyrim.
I mean, was Oblivion that much different?
It doesn't matter. Oblivion is from so much long time ago. And we're talking about a game that's been praised and praised over and over.
Yeah, but I think it's more praised for its... Well, first of all, it's visuals. Second of all, it's combat. I played Oblivion. I liked Oblivion. But Oblivion's combat, to me, was not nearly as fluid as Skyrim's combat.
Combat in Skyrim is fluid, but you're always attacking the same thing. I mean, it never changes.
Well, I mean, if you look at... Okay, one of the biggest games currently played, it's an MMORPG, it's World of Warcraft. People have been playing that game. I mean, if I was still playing it religiously, I'd be playing for like 10 years. That game, you do the same thing every single time.
That's almost social.
Well, yes, but that's true. But there's also a lot of like...
You're talking about a different genre altogether.
That's true. That's true. But you have to think of it this way. Skyrim is built on the premise that you are adventuring and accomplishing a goal, right? It is supposed to be a game that keeps you, while it is open world, on some track to become the Dovahkiin and to, you know, end the war. if every single side character had a bunch of story, no one would get anything done ever.
Okay, point for that. But listen to me on this. You have the combat, you have the magic, you have the basic skill set, and then suddenly it is the same thing to flow some flame, to throw some flames, than to throw some ice. It is the same thing to have, like, it's, there is a set of skills that is best for the game altogether. It is best for you.
I would disagree.
That's because you role play the game.
Well, yeah, but that's half the fun. It's built
well,
to be that kind
not
of game.
That's not the game. The game is not helping you role play. It's not the same thing. I mean, for example, you are the Dabba King. You have just saved Whiterun from the first dragon. And then you go and you have to pay 5,000 golden things for your house. What? What? Do you want me to live here or not?
Well, I mean, if you, okay, look at it in the modern world. If you save a town, they're still going to make you pay for their housing.
But it's not the same thing. We're talking about medieval times. We're talking about the only guy ever that has ever killed, slayed a dragon.
Well,
do you want him to live on your land to save you from further threats of dragons?
So what you're saying is the game should automatically give you a house at right one because you're...
No, I'm not saying it's just in that it's... It's illogical.
But it's not... okay. Touché. But it's not even that illogical. It's just... It's like you're reading into the game too much.
Also illogical. You can be head of the House of Magic. You can lead the assassins. You can lead the werewolves. You can be everything. Why?
Well, because as a player... And as someone who is developing a game to be played by players, so business major hat on, right? The consumer wants to do everything. They are giving you $60 to see these different things. If I was a consumer playing this game and I had to choose between the like 30 different factions, I wouldn't buy the game.
No, but this is a downgrade from previous games. This is a downgrade from games like Baldur's Gate, from games like Oblivion even.
How is Skyrim a downgrade from Oblivion? Baldur's Gate is a different type of game. It's social. You said that.
It is in the sense that the storyline was more well thought.
So then you're being a plot junkie.
I am.
Okay, so...
It's just that I thought so much, like, Elder Scrolls was up there for me, and suddenly Skyrim comes around, and it's just so much fun for the first 30 hours, and then... It's just, isn't this stale? They're same monsters, the same dungeons.
Did you not like the DLCs?
Yeah.
What about the one where you could make a house?
That wasn't funny. You know what happened to me? I adopted a child. That's and then the child was part of the plot, so he was taken away from me by the game. It was so funny. I actually
used command.
How
is that not logical? How is that not realistic? All of your argument has just been destroyed, Malena. You lose all of your points.
It was so funny because the glitch was so monumental. Like, it was so there. It let me adopt the child, but then it was like, nope, it's not in your house. It will not come. It's like the diabolical child that will not stay in your house. It will go away to Markarth. Bye-bye. And then you use command.
It will go away to Markarth. Goodbye.
Exactly. But then you use command, and it will take you somewhere, and the child's not there. It was so creepy.
So that, to me, just makes the game better. I don't know how that makes the game
because
worse.
Because there's so many glitches that it wasn't playable. Flying mammoths.
What do you mean it wasn't playable? Okay. I think you're just grumpy because you lost your child in Skyrim, and now you're blaming Skyrim for your loss. I think you need to go play Skyrim again, and you need to play Dawnguard, and you need to build a home, and you need to adopt a different child that doesn't go away so you can redeem yourself. Because Skyrim
maybe
is a fantastic
so.
Game.
Maybe so. Oh my god.
If you're listening, remember, Skyrim's better than you.
No, but I mean, also something that bothers me, and I must say this before we go to the break, is that the level scaling is absolutely ridiculous. I hate it that there are not areas that are like more leveled than me, and areas that are like so low level that
but
I can
that's
be.
Realistic.
It's not like you level up and then suddenly everything levels up with you, and if you level up five levels somewhere and then you go out and there are suddenly five dragons out of nowhere like circling the city.
But think about it. With the passing of time, creatures get older and thus their power grows.
What? In the passing of months, a lich like gained like 10 levels.
Didn't you gain 10 levels in the passing of a month? I mean,
but
why can't a lich?
It's not the same. The like the curve, the learning curve of a new character than the learning curve of a, I don't know, a 20th learning
this
character.
Is like, okay, so this is like in Fallout, right?
Yes.
In Fallout, they have different places for different levels,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but you can't even get past the first level on Fallout because
you walk the wrong way.
So yes. Obviously, your logic of Skyrim is the only game that has level problems is wrong.
No, but in Fallout, that's better. I mean, it was so hard the first time because, oh, no, I can't go this way. Oh, where is
God,
it? Oh,
it
my God.
Just like, it was like, Deathstalkers. Okay, I have to go straight. Well, there's a level 30.
Exactly.
I don't even know how to play the game. And there's a level 30.
Exactly. And there was a point in Fallout New Vegas when there was only left for me to explore the map. And then I reached this dark corner of the map. There was these creatures that I never got around to killing then because they were just too scary. Then that they kill you with just one shot. These blue creatures. Yes. Like, why are you there, evil creature? Why? Why do you kill me? I was just killing around, like, super happy. And then suddenly, dead. Why? Why on earth?
That sounds like ganking, and wow, you're just doing a quest, and then the next thing you know, you're dead, because a level 90 pooped on you.
Oh, well. Yeah.
But then again, I don't even play WoW anymore. I haven't in like years, so I don't know why I'm saying these things.
Well, but PvP is an actual problem.
No, it's not a problem. It's a solution. It's wonderful. I was the level 90.
Why doesn't it surprise me? Killing noobs.
Because I was a hunter, so I'd just go, pew, kloosh, dead. And then I'd kill like the mob, the quest givers.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I was that guy.
Why? That's insane.
Because
no.
It happened to me so many times, I felt like making other people suffer.
I never played WoW, but I did play Ragnarok. And it was so mean. Like, I was outside killing, like, the little bubbles, pink bubbles. Have you ever played Rogue?
No, I haven't.
There are these little gelatin things that are pink and they like pourings. And they're the easiest enemies that you can kill. And there were, like, these insane guys that were out there to kill noobs in the field outside Pandora, that's like the main city, and it was like insane. Okay, now we're going to a break, guys. We'll be right back, and we will be right back with our next section that's called The Hitchhiker's Guide to Belagarth, here with our guest Matteo at Nerdy. This is DJ Titania. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
Thank you.
Welcome back, guys, to Nerd Nerd Nerdy. Here is DJ Nin with you at Nerd Nerd Nerdy, radio.dominican.edu. And with us tonight is Mateo, or DJ Cord.
Goblin.
Oh, no. Again?
DJ Cord or the Goblin.
Oh, yeah. DJ Cord. That's
DJ
good.
DJ G.
And this segment is called The Hitchhiker's Guide to Bellegarde.
Oh, that's catchy.
Yeah, that's catchy,
I like
isn't
that.
It?
That's cool. Ooh. I like that.
Okay, so let's start. Tell us a little bit, Mateo, what is Bellegarde?
So Bellegarde is a full contact medieval combat society. It started in the 70s in Pennsylvania. It was founded as Dagger Here, which is still around today. In 2000, 2001, I believe, we split between Dagger Here and Bellegarde due to some political drama inside the organization. Bellegarde and Dagger Here, in my opinion, are the same thing, and the split is ridiculous. Huh. So in California and most of the West Coast, the split doesn't exist. On the East Coast, some Bellegarde fighters can't go to Dagger Here events and vice versa.
Oh my god. So unnecessary.
Yeah, so we use padded foam weapons, so you take a PVC core, pad the weapon, and that way we don't need to buy armor, because frankly, armor is very expensive. The SCA is another really cool alternative in the heavy combat side of the LARP spectrum, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
But they use rattan and require helmets. We don't allow headshots, so it keeps the price and everything else down pretty low.
Exactly. So what is LARP? You mentioned LARP.
So
is it LARPing?
Okay, so first of all, LARP is live action role playing, and live action role playing encompasses a whole heck of a lot of things. And if you want to be really, really, really conservative with a LARP, then yes, we are considered a LARP. Now, I'm not a particular fan of calling it a LARP because LARP has a very negative connotation. It, not to say anything bad about nerds and geeky people, but that's usually what people imagine. You know, D&D kids in their basement drinking Mountain Dew got the idea to go out and throw magic at each other. Those exist. You know, we have Darkon and many other style LARPs that are very roleplay. They're all roleplay. We have Amptguard, which is one of the heaviest hitting full-on LARPs, where you do have magic, you do have different skills, you have levels that you go up.
Yeah.
The reason we're not usually considered a LARP is, one, we don't really follow any storyline. You can be and do whatever the heck you want. You are what you say you are, and you have no magic, no skills. If you're good at fighting, you're good at fighting.
Exactly.
If you're bad at fighting and been doing it for 5 years, that's too bad. You're not any better. You don't get magical powers. You don't get a handicap.
Exactly.
So that's one of the main reasons I wouldn't consider us a LARP.
Yeah. Okay. Because some people seem to be confused, so I just wanted to clear it up.
Well, I think one of the main forms of this confusion comes from this really awesome movie called Role Models. And a lot of people see Role Models, have seen it, and they didn't really know what a LARP was. They just knew it as a derogatory term.
Yeah.
Now they have something to put it to. They see us, you know, on the library lawn, which is prime location for people to watch it, which is why I picked it, beating on each other, and they go, oh, look at the LARPers. Ha ha ha, that looks whatever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's great. That gets the word out. We're one of the most well-known clubs on campus.
Yeah.
Just nobody really knows what we are.
Exactly.
What we're about.
Exactly. So what does someone need to start fighting Bell?
Absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Someone who wants to start fighting Bell only needs the desire to want to start fighting Bell. If you are anywhere in the Bay Area, you can go to a numerous amount of spots. There's one in San Ramon. There's one in San Jose. There's one here in San Rafael.
Yeah.
There's a group in San Francisco. We're all over the place. You know, Thursdays, Saturdays,
yeah,
Sundays, Fridays, whenever. You just go, you show up, and you show up with good attitude, good awareness, and a desire to learn, and boy, will you start quick.
Exactly. So you will get hurt in some kind of way, but not that bad, right?
Okay, so yes and no. First of all, I strongly advise you wear knee pads and gloves. A cup isn't a bad idea whatsoever. There are situations where a mouth guard isn't that bad of an idea. While the head is an illegal target, accidents do happen. Now, will you get hurt? No. I want to say no, I can't. Think of any sport. An injury can happen. We're doing very strenuous physical activity where you are immediately competing with a person directly.
Exactly.
There's competition. There's body parts flying. Injuries do happen. Now, I've
had my fair share, but we can talk about that later if you want. It's really not that dangerous of a sport unless you decide to be dumb.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what we needed to hear. So do we need to, you said there you don't need to know anything else rather than just have the want to fight. But is it an expensive sport? I mean,
So no, not at all. Just like any sport, you know, there is an entrance fee. Let's be honest. In Belagarth, the cost is your garb, your weapons, an attendance fee for events, and gas. You can make a weapon for under $5. You can make garb out of used clothing you have for nothing. And event attendance is usually $20 to $30 for a camp out. So compared to basically every other sport I've ever heard of, this is so cheap. Think about paintball. It's $300 a gun. It's $50 for VBs.
Yeah.
I mean,
nothing. Basically, nothing.
It's pretty much free.
So I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself right now and your history with Belagarth. What got you into playing the sport, and how long have you been practicing the sport?
So I have been addicted to swords and medieval fighting since, well, forever. I have absolutely no idea how I came across the Dagger Here Dagger Here website in 2009.
Yeah.
No idea how I did it. Went on the boards, posted, hey, I'm a kid, I'm this guy in, you know, Santa Rosa, Sebastopol, California, 45 minutes north of San Francisco. I want to fight. What's around me? There was one group back then.
Yeah.
It was in San Jose, which was two and a half hours for me because my mom drives slow sometimes, which is really strange. Either way, I was like, okay, what's the requirement? You got to be 16. It's like, damn, I'm 15. Oh, well. 2 weeks after I turned 16, I went to my first practice. I have never looked back.
Yeah.
So I've been doing it for about five years. A lot of that was a good amount of that time was actually really slow fighting. So I don't always count it. The first 2.5 years was just Malenorod in San Jose. It was too far for me to go. So I made my own swords and started fighting in my backyard. And then maybe 2010, the old realm in Santa Rosa, which is named Rey and Dunayar, started. And I started fighting there about a month after it started with fighters like Savage and Juggernaut, who have been in the sport for a very long time. They're some of the veteran fighters in Northern California who unfortunately don't fight very much anymore. I fought there for a while. Then all of a sudden, Savage couldn't fight. And I was like, well, I'm not going to let the realm die. So he gave realm leadership to me. And 2 years into the sport, I started running a realm that had 18 people coming regularly. Huh. Of course, that number fluctuated from like one to 18, but on a good day we had as many as 20 people.
Yeah.
Hosted an event up there, went really well. Then, yeah, so that's kind of like a history before my college days of Bell. I mean, I can talk about the events I went to later. I can talk about what I did later if you want, but that's like a brief.
Okay, that's kind of interesting. I mean, because right now I guess that there are a lot of other practices that you can go in the area.
All over the place.
Yeah.
So I started, so there was one in Santa Cruz called Salamandastron, which no longer exists anymore, and that was the breeding ground for a lot of Northern California realm leadership currently. Fagook and Rao and Kyrax are three of the fighters who started the Malenorod group in San Jose. Then was Savage, who started Rey and Dunayar, which was taken over by me, and my friend Torix started in San Ramon. That was it.
Yeah.
Period. That was Northern California fighting. There was five people at most who went to events. That's it.
Oh my gosh.
You know, like weapon tech was bad. Our fighting skill was frankly poor. You know, we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. Back, compared to now, like you brag about it. So it must be like quite a difference.
I'm pretty proud, honestly, of what we've created. I think we now have close to 100, 150 fighters. Not all active. We have, you know, Armored Penguins practice is unique because we have the highest number of vets attending our practice. There are practices where our average, you know, amount of time fighting between, well, not average, but combined is like 50, 60 years. It's really, really impressive. And that's also what started making Northern California fighting bigger is a man named Shadow. Shadow came, you know, he had 9 years of fighting. We had Juggernaut, who was in the area, who has 20 years of fighting. And a man from Illinois named Bogan came out, and he has, you know, 20 years of fighting. And with dedicated realm leaders like myself and Torix, we pushed with them to get our skill better, which then made us more interesting, yeah. which got more people. And now we're a force to be reckoned with. The last two Battle for the Rings we went to, we've come out the realm leaders.
Yeah.
Like we win a lot now.
So that's awesome. Would you share a funny memory with us or a cherished memory?
So this is a subculture. It's pretty weird. One year I went to Idaho, and it was in the summer in July, and we were camping there for 8 days. And one of the nights, there was this huge storm that was supposed to come in. And everyone's like, oh, my God, we're in a bunch of garb. We're in a bunch of tents. We're in the middle of Idaho in the summer. Why is it raining? Obviously, I'm from California. I don't know that that happens there. So I was kind of silly. But we had this group of people called the Darping Wizards. I'm not going to say what that acronym stands for on the radio. Let's just say it's funny. And has to do with being very, very belligerently drunk. Now, these wizards decided after they had probably drank, 40 beers between them and a whole bunch of liquor, that it would be a great idea to get all their staves and go to the center of the fighting field at like 11 o'clock at night and start chanting and screaming and casting spells into the sky to send the storm away. Sounds ridiculous, right? Yeah, the storm went away.
That is awesome.
So, I mean, like, and then the next year I wrote a ballad. It was just a story. And I performed it at the Bardic competition because those same wizards, I was like, hey, I want to join, but I'm under 21. How do I do it? They're like, oh,
this silly kid. Okay, go write us a story.
They didn't expect me to actually do it. I did it. They read it. They were like, you have to perform this. I did it. I got like, I don't know. I was placed in like the middle of the bracket, which is fine. I didn't care about winning.
Yeah.
And so now I'm Kevin the Chronicler, which is the youngest member of the Darping Wizards.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's actually so cool. Oh, my God. So you mentioned that you started the practice here at Dominican.
Yeah,
I
did.
How was that process?
So, oh, my God. It was difficult. Okay. So I started the Armored Penguins at Dominican University in San Rafael because I love fighting and I love hitting people with foam sticks and I love getting other people who love hitting people with foam sticks in the same place so we can all hit each other with foam sticks. It's wonderful. I moved here and I had nobody to hit people with foam sticks with. And I was like, this is sad. Huh? So this actually happened right before I went to college. I was like, you know what? I'm going to start a Belagarth realm. Woohoo! And so I like networked out and I had like 25 people who were interested in the very first day. I got all my swords. I had like two friends already at the school who kind of knew what was going on. You know, we had like three people the first day. Second day, second practice, 45 people. We had to pass out swords. We had to do rotations. And that continued for about the first month. Anywhere from 40 to like 20 people, and it was huge. We did not have enough swords. We never had enough swords.
What?
And then midterms. Okay. And then it was me and Dustin, or me and Giant, as you know him.
Yeah.
And it was me and Giant for about a year.
Oh, my God.
And in that year, Shadow started coming out, and that changed a lot. We had three people. Woo! Ooh. And so we bounced from 2 to 5 people for my freshman year. And most of my sophomore... Well, no. Okay. And then sophomore year, Kayla showed up. So we got her. We got a girl. Woo! My ex-girlfriend was there. Basically, we had more people. But still, it wasn't enough. And it was in first semester, sophomore year, so 2013, that Shadow started coming out, like, religiously.
Yeah.
And that's when we started building. But really, we only had 3 students last year. We had a lot of community members because I have awesome friends. And this is a great place to fight, and it's a great group of people. But we only had, like, 3 students compared to, like, our 25 students we used to have. So it was, it's gone through these ups and downs, you know. For the longest time, I was getting that, you nerd, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, and then people started realizing, okay, Mateo is awesome.
Yeah.
What he does is really, really weird, and we don't like it, but that's okay. And then the we don't like it went away, and it's like, oh, you're walking around campus in your garb. What's up, dude? How you doing?
Yeah.
I like the hat. I'm really good at creating. This is just how I personally view it. I no longer care when people call it LARPing. I used to. When I was in high school, I would get flaming angry. I'd grow red. But now it's like, okay, thanks for knowing what I am. And it's like people will, you know, drive by and yell nerd or yell D&D. And it's just like, yeah, what up, dude? This is awesome. Come join us.
Well, but it's better for them to call it LARPing than just not calling it at all, which is...
Exactly. The press is the press. I'm a marketing major, so it's nice to...
Yeah.
It's true. People know who we are. If you go, okay, what's the Armored Penguins? It's like, yeah, they're those foam fighting people, right? People have no idea what we are. But yeah. They know where we exist.
Oh, yeah, totally. I totally get that. But like when I'm in class, like, yeah, I do this or I do that. Or, yeah, I'm writing this about this. Or like, yeah, like... I got people to film the March of the Penguins that are going to talk about
that. I'm super, super excited about that.
So, like, they didn't know what it was first, but when I said, it's the LARPing Club, oh,
yeah,
that.
And really, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I just wish, you know, we could get people stop caring. So here's the dilemma. Mm-hmm. The type of people who would do this, the nerdy ones, are stereotypically less fit, less active.
Yeah.
Less interested in sporty stuff, more interested in video games, books, comic books. That's great. I love it. But this is a really, really, really intense sport. Yeah. We lost people because they couldn't handle it anymore.
Yeah.
This is way too much. The people I need are the athletes, the lacrosse players, the basketball players. That is the type. This is why why I consider this a sport. I fight 2 to 3 times a week. Just like doing a practice 2 to 3 times a week.
Yeah.
I work out for this because this is really athletic and this is what I do. In the same respect, that is why a basketball player, Navy SEAL, these type of people do really well in this sport. And that's what we have. We have a ton of athletes.
Yeah.
You know, ex-football players, ex-basketball players, ex-lacrosse players. We have Navy SEALs. We have Army. We have Marine. I mean, we have everything.
And I think they would enjoy it if they gave it a chance. It's
exactly.
Yeah. They want
it's all to. Stigma. It's all social stigma.
Yeah. So stupid. Okay. Please tell us a little bit about the event that's coming up.
So, I'm super excited.
Yes.
This Saturday, what is it, March 28th, is March of the Penguins. I know. It's in March. That's the point. It's wonderful. I love it so much. Props to Chris Mish. Merry Christmas. For coming up with that name. It's a great name. March of the Penguins is our second annual event. We did this last year. It was fantastic. We had like 30 people last year. We're looking to get maybe 35, 40 this year. The exciting news is we're getting out-of-staters for this event. We're getting Bokhtar. And Bokhtar is debatedly one of the best fighters in this entire sport, one of the best teachers in this entire sport, and he's coming from Oregon down for the event. Yes. We're getting people from Fresno. I am very, very, very excited for this event.
Yeah, it seems that it's going to be awesome. So it's only for people who do the sport?
No. Please, no. Everybody and their mother is more than welcome to come watch. This is almost a spectator sport, you know. We want you to be there. We want you to support us. We want you to, you know, come. I have a group of friends. All of them think this is ridiculous, but they're going to come out and watch because, heck, it's funny. In the same respect, anybody can fight. We will have so many people there who are more than willing to teach. We'll have extra weapons. You know, garb for walk-ons is not required. Are you going to look kind of stupid when we're all looking awesome and you're not? Yeah, probably. But does that discourage you from coming? Please, no. Because then you can look at us awesome as we are. It's great.
Yeah, and exactly.
It's most definitely for everybody. Students, community members, friends, your dog's uncle, you know, whatever. Anybody can come.
So it's this Saturday, where and at what time?
So it is this Saturday at the softball field, so by the Kenley Athletic Center down past Conlin, from 10 till probably around 6, and then a big group of us is going to head over to Pride's drag show,
yes,
which is super fantastic. Shout out to them for having an event. That awesome on campus. I highly suggest everyone goes to it. It's from 8 to, I think, 11.
Yeah, that would be awesome, too. So, would you like to share anything else?
Well, I mean, do you have any other questions regarding Bellegarth? We didn't really talk about how it works. I mean, I have a lot more stories if you'd like to hear any more stories.
I would love to hear any more stories, but we are 10 minutes past.
Oh, then I'm good.
Everyone should come to March of the Penguins, really.
Everyone should come. If you do not come, I will be sad. Mateo will be sad.
I will be sad.
Kayla will be
sad.
The penguin will be sad.
Oh.
Oh my God. And finally, do you consider yourself a nerd?
Well, I'm more of a dork, so kind of more of a whale's penis. But really, yeah, I guess. Everybody's a nerd if you think about it. If you're not, you're just a square, and that sucks to be you.
I agree. Okay, so that was all for today, folks. See you, or hear you, or not hear you. You hear me talking next Monday at 9. This was Nerd Nerd Nerdy with DJ Titania or DJ Nin or DJ something. And here at radio.dominican.edu. And we are signing off because we're 10 minutes past and Stu will kill me. Bye-bye, Stu.